I'd like to thank everybody for reading. And at this time, I'd like to introduce our first speaker, Missy.
God. I'm an addict named Missy. Thank you. It's a privilege to be clean. It's a privilege to be in Narcotics Anonymous meeting. I go to a meeting on Tuesday nights where we start the whole meeting off every week with a couple minutes of silence to focus ourselves on our recovery and what we're there for. And my sponsor told me that I could start this any way I wanted. So just to help me feel at home and remember what I'm here for, I'd really like all of us just to take 30 seconds and just have a moment of quiet and center ourselves or think about whatever you need to think about. And we'll end with the serenity prayer. God, grant us the serenity. I'm sure that's going to piss people off on the tape if they buy it, so I have to fast forward. Or think about what's going on with them, I'm not sure which, but when I was asked to talk about youth and recovery, part of me got kind of defensive and kind of felt like we're no different. We're addicts in recovery. And that I don't like feeling separated out. And I don't like being aware that I got clean just when I had just turned 20. And I felt really different when I sat in the rooms, especially when I'm sitting in a meeting with a bunch of young people and an older person is there and they say, you know, it's really great, and my primary brain goes, oh no, and they say, to see a lot of young people here, and it's like, crap, you know, and I just feel like, all right, you just told me I'm different. You just gave my disease like a doorway to say you haven't done enough, you didn't shoot dope, you didn't go to jail for a long time, you need to go back out there, and that's what my disease does. That's what my disease tells me. The biggest thing I struggle with being young and being in recovery was that it was just a phase, that I just cut in with the wrong people and happened to get into using some drugs. Not that I don't know how to deal with life, not that I have a disease that tells me I can have just one. And what's really helped me with that was learning that not yet meant you're eligible too. And second, when I heard people who had used for 25 years struggle with the same thing, that they thought they could go back out and just have one. And it's like I learned to relate in and look at how we're the same. And I say a lot. Gives me a minute to think. Being a young woman in recovery, sometimes I'm aware of what a miracle that is and how rare we are. And what a hard time I had in early recovery finding friends and finding people that I related to, that were about being clean and were about working the steps and having a sponsor and having a home group and all those things that they teach us. And when all my friends that I got clean with went back out, which a lot of us go through, and I think we go through losing friends in this program and having them use and learning how to stay clean through that, and it hurts, I shut down. I decided that I was not going to hang out with young people anymore. And because I was afraid of you. I'm really scared speaking in front of a lot of young people because I don't look trendy enough, I don't have the right stuff, and maybe the big kids won't let me play on the playground and I'll be stuck on the swing all alone again, and that would really suck, you know? And so I was afraid of other young people because I felt like I was in high school again and I wasn't enough, and I was so aware of that. And so I stopped hanging out with young people and I hung out with older people in recovery. And the truth is, and this is so important for me to say, that even though I have felt in meetings like I was different because I was young, I have never been told that they spilt more on their tie than I drank. No one has ever told me that in these rooms. I have always been accepted. And I had a girl come up to me once in a meeting, and she said to me, "What's wrong with you? We don't think you like other young people." And it feels really ironic standing up here now and speaking on Youth in Recovery after having someone say that to me. And I was bitching to my sponsor continually that there was no young women in my life that were like me. I don't know what that really means. I had these conceptions of different types of women. And there were the ones who went shopping and the ones who played sports and the ones who threw rocks at the cheerleaders. And that was me. They were small rocks, but I was doing it. And I had a hard time with, you know, with relating to those types of women. And now I'm standing up here with a shirt from, you know, The Gap or something and makeup on my face. It's funny how things change. And I started to be open to the idea of being with people who didn't look exactly how I think they should look, or having a friend that comes in a particular package, and all of a sudden people started coming into my life and young people that I could relate to. And I go to a Tuesday meeting that I very much feel a part of with a lot of young people, and it's kind of amazing because I look back and it's just kind of happened. It's one of those things where you look back and you realize that in the last 3 days you haven't thought about using. And that hits you that first time, and it's a total miracle. I think it's kind of funny that it's the 20th anniversary of Grease, because the first time I tried to get high, it was because of that movie. There's a scene in there where they're in the bathroom. If you watch, well, seen Grease as many times as I had, you'll know it. And Marty Maraschino says, "I caught Vince Fontaine trying to put aspirin in my Coke at the dance." And I'm sitting there going, "What is that about?" So I asked my mom, you know, "What's this about?" And she says to me, "Oh, we thought that if you put aspirin in your Coke, you would get drunk." So first night my mom goes out, I have some friends over, and I say, "Hey, why don't you buy us a 12-pack of Coke? We like soda." She goes out, you know, I go up to the medicine cabinet, get the aspirin. So we're sitting there, put the pills in, drink them. I'm sitting there, and I'm going, "It's not working." And my friends say to me, "Missy, this is just because it doesn't work." And I turned to her and I said, "No, it's because we didn't put enough in." And in the beginning, it was there for me. It was there for me. And it doesn't matter what particular drug I used. I'm an addict. And my first drug of choice was food. And I'll say that flat out. First big drug I ever stole were Snickers bars. I got busted the first time I did it. I was in 7-Eleven with my mom and didn't think that she would notice that I had 3 handfuls of candy in my pocket, in my hands, walking out with a full mouth, and she didn't buy me anything, and I'm like 6, you know? There's a problem here, and I wasn't trying to steal from this nice man. And she made me go up to the counter and put him up on the counter and tell him that I stole him. And you would think that would kind of teach you that lesson not to do that, but it didn't. I wanted what I wanted when I wanted it. And I continued to abuse food, and what happened is that it's not very cool to weigh 260 pounds. It's a lot cooler, in my mind, to smoke dope. And the first time I got high, I got that same numbing feeling. I got that same feeling of not being in my skin anymore and not being aware of all the things that were going on in my mind and all the things that I hated about myself. And I was like, I have arrived. And I didn't party for very long, and I have a friend who talks about this a lot, that you go from partying and you cross the line into using, and it's different, and you know it. I was so afraid in college that just to do anything, that I had to take beer in the shower with me. And it wasn't to be cool, but I was just afraid. I was the girl at the end of the party who was drinking the keg glasses with all the cigarette butts in them. I was already drunk, but I wanted more. And I didn't know how to get it because it was 6 a.m. and everyone else had gone home and all the other beer was gone. And I was the girl who was stealing dope from her roommates, who I really did care about. But they had what I wanted. And When I was 17, I remember I was at home and all the things that I normally do to get myself out of myself didn't work. And I was sitting there, and what I ended up doing was taking 120 extra strength Tylenol. And it wasn't because I wanted to die. It was because I didn't want to hurt anymore, and I didn't want to feel the pain anymore, and I didn't want to be who I was anymore. And I remember my parents taking me to the emergency room. They had been swimming, so they were still in their bathing suits in the emergency room. It was kind of funny. And this doctor came in, and he shoved these tubes up my nose to pump my stomach, and he told me that he wasn't there to be my friend, and that if I pulled him out, he would do it again. And he asked me, "Why did you do this?" And I said, "Because I just don't want to hurt anymore." And that wasn't my bottom for me. I was sent to therapy, and I would go to therapy high and couldn't figure out why it wouldn't work. I would go in and try to talk about my therapist's child the whole time, because he was really cute and he liked to talk about him, so that's what we did, and I was really comfortable with that. And I swore I would never get to that spot again of almost killing myself. Because the interesting thing is with Tylenol is that it doesn't kill you right away, but it kills your liver. And so maybe when you don't want to die anymore, you don't really have a choice. And I didn't hit bottom, though. That wasn't enough for me. And when I did hit bottom, it was because one night I gave my car to somebody because they were going to go score, just a friend and some guy. I didn't know, "Here, take my car. I'll get some when you come back, hopefully." And they came back, and the door closed, and there wasn't any for me. And it left me kicking the door and screaming. And I came from this group of using people where there were these etiquette and these rules that you were supposed to follow. And it was interesting because at the end of my using, those rules and that etiquette were gone. And it wasn't about being nice anymore or pretending that it was about, yeah, share and love and peace and all that crap anymore. And I laid in my room and I wanted to just drive my car into a brick wall because I couldn't handle it. And what happened was I ran into somebody who I'd used with, and they were clean and they were young and they were in recovery. And I went to hang out with this person, and they were different somehow. There was a light in their eyes. And so I went to a meeting, and I went to a meeting in this really small town, and they didn't have any NA meetings. So I went to the other fellowship, and I walked in there, and they were all these older men. There were no women. They were wearing John Deere shirts and big belt buckles. And I felt very out of place. And I told him, "I didn't have a problem with alcohol. I drink every day, but I don't got a problem with it." And this nice man, he looked like Jerry Garcia, and he came up to me afterwards, and he said, "Honey, you know, that's fine, but we just don't like it if you say that here. You know, just call yourself something else." And I felt like they didn't like me and never wanted me to come back again. But I started going to meetings, and I moved home, and that's the thing about being a youth in recovery is often you live with mom and dad. That's real hard. I'm out using and all of a sudden I got to be home by 12 and I'm 20 years old. And my mom's, you know, threatening to ground me and stuff. And what I've learned and what I've struggled with. And to tell you that in some ways it's gotten better, but it hasn't. 2 weeks ago I got restricted from living in my room. I wasn't keeping it clean, so I had to live on the couch for a couple of days. You know, I don't know whose unmanageability that is, but I think it's mine. And what I keep coming back to with that struggle for me is that it's a choice and that I choose to live there and that I don't have to live there and that I'm choosing it and that there are no victims here. And that's really important to me because the situation looks really different when I think about it like that. And I've become grateful for the opportunity that I have. And the relationship I have with my parents is completely different. I like to hang out with them. I feel like a geek even saying that, but it's true. My mom and I have a fantastic time together. That wasn't the case when I got clean. It's funny, you stand up here and I'm so scared to share because I'm afraid that it won't be enough. And that's funny because it's one of the things that I really compared out about just all the time, that I'm not enough, and that I didn't use enough, and it didn't get bad enough, and all of that stuff. And what really helped me was to find my story in the basic text, and to look through all the stories until I found me. And I did, and that's really important to me. And the other thing was to go to speakers' meetings and to hear people share my story, and sometimes they're 50 years old, and sometimes they're 14, and sometimes they're black, and sometimes they're white, and we're all different, but I relate, and I know who you are, even if I don't know you, and that's just amazing. And there are all a lot of struggles about being young in recovery, but there are gifts, and I was driving a couple weeks ago, and I was aware of this, that I get to come into adulthood with these principles and these traditions. But I get to grow up in this program. When I came here, I couldn't hold a job at Pizza Hut as a chef. My first day, I walked in and puked all over my manager. He kept me on. He was very desperate. But I graduated from college. I'm in graduate school. I'm growing up in this program. I'm finding out who I am and what's important to me. I didn't know that when I got here. All I knew is that I wasn't living who I was. There was this part of me the whole time I was using, even though it felt so natural, that knew that this wasn't me. This wasn't where I was supposed to be. And I'm finding out who that person is. I get to work this program for a really long time if I'm lucky, and sometimes that feels overwhelming. I had a man say to me once, "You're going to get to have 50 years in this program." I wanted to kill him. I was like, "I can't do it for that long. I cannot do this thing for 50 years. I cannot not use for 50 years. It's impossible." And what I come back to is that I only have to do it till the end of tonight, and that there are other people who are doing it with me. And that's so cool. Sometimes I really like to, at the end of a meeting, and I know this isn't participation or whatever, but I really like to hear just people say the serenity prayer and not say anything, and know that tomorrow when I'm struggling and my head is running a million miles an hour and I can't seem to slow down, that I can remember all the people that are doing this thing with me. And that's just a miracle, and that's amazing. I'm going to be quiet and give Jason a chance. Because I know he's so ready to talk. We flipped a coin out front downstairs about who was going to go first, because each time we tried to decide, he was like, "No, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that." And just kind of left it up to the coin toss. But I have a relationship with a sponsor today. Women in my life, people of all ages. I have a higher power. I work the steps to the best of my ability. And I'm grateful to be here, and I'm honored to speak at a youth and recovery meeting. Thanks for letting me share.
I'd like to now introduce our second speaker, Jason.
Jason, I'm an addict.
Yeah.
A little shorter. All right, I'm scared. I'll let y'all know. And when we were flipping that coin outside, first thing she asked, like, "So what's the plan?" I'm like, "Well, I just don't want to do this at all," and I was ready to walk away. But I don't know. I got clean when I was 16 years old, and I'll let y'all know that the hardest thing is to get clean in high school. I took people's suggestions, you know, they're like, you know, stay away from the old people, the places and the things and all that, right? So I was like, I'm not going to high school anymore, right? you know, that's honestly what I did. I graduated because my teachers didn't want me in their classes, what it comes down to. I don't know. It's good to be here, and I got my sponsor sitting out there, and he gave me this pink slip of paper here saying I was going to be okay. I think I started using when I was about 13 years old. You know, I had a friend who, we found a pack of cigarettes outside, right? You know, it was a whole pack. And so, like, we had, neither of us had smoked before, and we sat back outside his house, and we tried it, and then we tried it again. We smoked the whole damn pack in, like, probably half an hour. You know, and this is all right. You know, I had this buzz going on. My head was like, you know. And it wasn't too long after that that I was taking my first drink from my parents' cabinet, and then my mom thought it was cool. You know, y'all are drinking a little bit. You know, so it's okay if you drink at home. You know, so she'd be buying six packs here and there, and I'd be drinking at home. And I had a stepbrother that is the same age as I am. And one night we decided to drink orange cognac, you know, because that was what was in the cabin, you know. And it makes your nose hairs burn. And it was the coolest thing watching him puke in this position on my back porch, and there's still a stain of it. And I continued to use through my first 2 years of high school, and I had these feelings of not wanting to be there. I didn't want to be at home. I didn't want to be out partying, and the people sucked, and I just didn't know what to do. I had a girlfriend, and I decided, you know what, I'm gonna run away. I'm gonna go live at her house. You know, so I ran and you know, and within a day or two, somebody found me, and school was wondering where I was at, and I ended up, I don't even remember what happened to me. I don't know. They sent me to a 3-day program that the county sponsors or some shit, and I was driving home from that one day, and I decided, you know what, I want to drive my car into this wall, you know. But I had my girlfriend in the car, and I was like, you know what, I can't do this. I'll drop her off, and then I'll go do it, right? So I dropped her off, and I was talking to my mom. I was like, Mom, I want to drive this car into a wall. And she's like, you're going to the social worker's office, right? And she took me to the social worker's office, and the social worker said, you're doing inpatient treatment. And I'm like, no, I'm not. You know, and so I ran out in the hallway, and there's this mail chute, and I was like, all right, see, punch the mail chute, you know. And I'm not a violent person, but I punched this mail chute, and that thing shattered through 8 floors, and my hand was bleeding everywhere. And I was like, you know what, I got a little problem here. And they decided to take me to the hospital and get me sewed up, but the wait was too long, so they took me just straight to treatment. And I spent 2 weeks in this treatment center, you know, hating every moment I was there. But I tell you, the second I walked out of that door, I wanted to be back inside there. I went to this meeting called Youth in Recovery, right? And there were about 8 people in there, and they were all old. A guy with a tattoo of a spider coming up his neck, this guy with this huge manga's handlebar mustache, and I'm thinking, nah. You know, this isn't for me. I don't have a problem. I'm not old enough to have a problem. And I sat down and I listened to them talk. And, you know, the guy with the spider on his neck, you know, was probably 35, and he was talking about having AIDS and all this. And even the feelings he was having and what he was talking about, just it hit home, you know. I didn't know what to think of it, you know. I was with my girlfriend there at the meeting too, you know. So, you know, I wasn't sure if I wanted to stick around there, but I didn't hit another meeting for a week, and it was getting harder through the week not to use. So I went back to that same meeting, and people were talking to me, and they said, why don't you come out to this meeting tomorrow and this meeting the next? And they were just, they didn't know me. And they were basically inviting me out and doing stuff. And it was the first place I felt like I fit in, and I wanted to get. I looked forward to going to meetings, you know. So I went to meetings for about a month, and there was a lady that's real strong in the Norvana area, and she said, "Why don't you come to this helpline meeting, right?" And I'm like, "Why would I want to go to that? I have like 30 days clean, you know." And then she dragged me this thing, and then she gave me a position at the helpline meeting, right? So I've been on the helpline for the last 4 years, and there's nothing more rewarding than having somebody calling up, crying, you know, detoxing, and it reminds me where I've come from, you know, where the feelings and the not wanting to use and not sure if I want to live, but you know, I want to do something. I don't know what it is. And so anyways, so I got involved in the helpline and in other service positions, started chairing that youth and recovery meeting, trying to recruit some young people to come to it, you know. And I don't know, it's something clicked here, and I'm still here. I've gone through lots of things in recovery. When I had just turned 18 and graduated from high school, I decided I was going to move out. And it was the worst and the best thing I ever done my entire life. I'm 21 now, and I'm not at home. I'm paying my bills. I'm doing what I got to do. I'm getting lost here talking. But anyways, when I moved out with a girl, right? Yeah, but you know, this is like something that's like goes straight through my whole story here. And so that was the worst and the best thing I ever done in my life. I'm no longer with that girl, but I had a different sponsor at that time that was like the relationship man, I thought, you know. And so I thought, you know, I could concentrate on this relationship and I won't have to concentrate on me. Because I really hadn't worked any steps in the first 2 years I was here. I just kept coming around. And it was starting to hurt again, you know. The meetings wasn't just cutting it. And I just, you know, it hurt. I said, "Sponsor, what's up? You know, this is hurting." And he said, "It's time to work some steps, you know." Which he'd been trying to get me to do for the last year and a half or so. But, you know, I had to, at 2 years clean, you know, look at myself rather than from the beginning. And it's a real slow process. I'm still a sick puppy. I'm still a sick puppy. So, you know, and the people in this program are what have gotten me to look at it. I'm known in like Norvana as like the 32nd man, you know. I come out with it, I'll be like, just bleh, and then it's over, you know. So this is actually the, yeah. So this is. So yeah. So this is a big deal for me. I'm really getting lost, and I'd be lying if I'm going to sit up here and bullshit, because most of my thoughts are all over the place, and I'd like to open it up, and if anybody wants to come up and share, go ahead. Thanks.
The meeting will be open to people who want to come up and share. You can come up and one at a time and share. Please limit yourself to 5 minutes apiece or so more people can get a chance to share. How you doing? I'm Gabe and I'm an addict.
Yeah.
I can relate with what they were saying. Standing in front of a bunch of young people. I mean, speaking in a meeting like with old heads and young people, you know what I mean? It's different. But now I'm looking at people that are all my age and, you know, that I mean, this is awesome. You know, like, I could relate to a lot with what he was saying, you know. You know, since I've been coming around, I came around and I was like all gung-ho, like, yeah, convention, you know, meeting every day for 6 months. Isn't that, I'll make a meeting every day for my first year. You know what I mean? All gung-ho. And, like, I noticed, like, you know, since I've been clean, like, you know, I got sicker since I've been clean. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, that might have to do with, you know, you know, not staying on with, like, calling my sponsor all the time. You know, I'll go through periods where I'm, like, calling them, like, every day for maybe a week or two. And then I'll go through, like, I'll get involved with this girl or with, you know, something, you know, another drug. And then, you know, like, I won't. That's funny. You can relate, huh? Yeah, go ahead. But you know what I mean? Like, you know, they say, like, you know, disease of addiction, you know what I mean? Like, you know, just because we get clean, we don't stop using drugs, you know what I mean? Like, you know, I've used a lot of things in this program, you know, people, you know, to take care of, you know what I mean, get rid of my pain, you know, women, all kinds of stuff. You notice I keep saying women, huh? I got to talk about that issue. Like, I don't know. Like, there was a whole lot of shit I wanted to say before I got up here. And, you know, when you think about it, then you're like, okay, I got to say this and that. And then you get up here and you ain't got nothing to say. But, you know, like, you know, if anyone ever told me, like, you know, I'm too young to be clean, you know what I mean? I'd be like, fuck that. You know what I mean? You're in the right place. You know what I'm saying? Because, like, you know, I think that a lot of times. You know what I mean? Because that's my disease telling me, you're too young to get clean because you never shot dope. You know what I mean? In North Philly, this and that, blah blah blah. You know what I'm saying? But it's like, you know what I mean? It don't matter what or how much you use. You know what I mean? You got a desire to get clean. You know what I mean? That's all. All you need is that desire. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? But it's like, you know, this program, you know, has given me everything. You know what I mean? Like, relationship with my parents, you know, the best friends I could ever ask for. You know what I mean? I used to think the friends that I was with, I was like, yeah, we'll be like 80 years old sitting back in our chair smoking a blunt. You know what I mean? With my grandchildren. You know what I'm saying? We can all relate to that, right? You know what I mean? But it's like, you know, I was like, all right, we'll be talking here. But, like, they weren't my friends, you know what I mean? I was robbing them, you know what I mean? I was taking their money, their dope, you know what I mean? Stashing a little bit in my pocket, like, okay, you know, they don't know. I'll save that for later, you know what I mean? You know, they were probably doing the same to me, you know what I mean? And it's like, you know, this is where I found, you know what I mean, people who love me, you know what I mean, in these rooms, you know what I mean? I hang out with people from anywhere, like, my age to people who were, like, old. I don't know, you know what I mean? Older than me, you know what I'm saying? Older than me. But, you know what I mean? Like, I can relate to them, and you know what I mean? Like, June 1st, I'm moving, me and two of my friends are moving out. One of them's, like, 20, shit, I can't remember. One's, like, 28, and the other one's, like, 25, yeah, and, like, 27. You know what I mean? And I'm 17 years old. So, you know what I mean? Like, And these are two of, like, my best friends in recovery. You know what I'm saying? Like, high school, you know what I mean? High school. Man, this is got to be the hardest thing. Kids in school know I'm getting clean, know I don't got nothing on me, but they still going to come up to me, yo, man, can you get me a bag of Coke, man? You know what I mean? Like, this and that. And it's like, nah, I don't do that no more. And, you know, where I go to school, you know, everyone knows me, knows that, like, you know what I mean? I'm clean, and half of them don't like me. They're like, oh, he's clean. I don't want to talk to him. You know, but before they were coming to me like, yo, can you get me this? Can you get me that? Now I'm clean. You know, it's like they don't want nothing to do with you. You know what I mean? That's the kind of friends, you know what I mean? You know, if you're just coming around, stay. You know what I mean? Stick and stay, because it's like, you know, I got clean. I got clean November of 96. You know, when I came around, like, I was in three different rehabs, and the last rehab I was in, it was in, if anyone's from, like, Philadelphia or anything that you know, like, Chester. I went to rehab in Chester, and it's not a good neighborhood. And, like, I was breaking out of there, you know what I mean, sneaking out, breaking into offices, going out to Chester, you know what I mean, getting bags of coke, no desire to stay clean, you know what I mean. They busted me, you know, they told me to pack my bags and get out, and, you know, I'm packing my stuff, and they said, yeah, all right, look, you know, you can stay if you do anything, you know what I mean, spit wrong, walk wrong, you're out of here, you know what I mean, we're going to let you stay because they had faith in me, you know what I mean, and I thank God that they had faith in me, because if they would have kicked me out, you know what I mean, I wouldn't be here today. You know, I wouldn't have been able to get back in my house. You know, young, running around, finding places to live, you know what I mean? We don't need that. I started coming around to meetings. My adolescent counselor told me, you know, start going to meetings right when you got, make it 90 and 90. That's the one thing that stuck with me. I started going to meetings. I left there with like 15 heads, and they told me, they said only one out of every 10 people, you know, are going to stay clean out of rehab. And I was like, yeah, right. We're all going to stay clean, you know. And so I did exactly what he didn't tell me to do, you know what I mean, because I knew these people. We were getting along. I was hooking up with a couple girls in the rehab, so I was like, all right, this is cool, you know what I mean. And so I started doing, hanging out with them. And, you know, I was the only one that stayed clean. You know, I was like, man, why don't I go out? You know what I mean? Everyone else is going out and getting high eventually. Why can't I? You know what I mean? But I just kept coming around. People would make me feel welcome. You know what I mean? And, I don't know, man. Recovery is just you know what I mean, the greatest thing that ever happened to me. Fun. You know what I mean? I had the most fun in recovery that I've ever had. I've done some really sick shit, too. You know what I mean? Crazy stuff. You know, I remember in my addiction getting arrested, you know what I mean, in Wildwood Crest, butt naked, you know what I mean, because my addiction fucked my ass up. You know what I mean? And, like, I did some of that same stuff in recovery. Like, last year, you know, we're down the shore, and I got a videotape of me, like, don't worry about it, but, you know, just play within your head. You know what I mean? Like, just crazy stuff. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, I've done some sick stuff in recovery, but, you know what I mean? I didn't get high, and that's all that matters. But I'm not going to turn this into a three-speaker meeting, so thanks for letting me share.
My name is Jay, and I'm an addict. Hi, family. I first came around back in 1991, and like I'm discovering with a lot of young people in recovery, in my area, I was the youth in recovery. You know, and that was hard, but on the other hand, I was blessed because I couldn't click up. I couldn't hang out with people and just chill and listen to music and do all the young things. I had to hang out with people 15, 20 years older than me. And by choice, I didn't just hang out with the 15 or 20 year older than me on my side of the river in my community. I started going to meetings in the middle of the city. And the only thing we had in common was this program. And the only thing we did on a daily basis while having fun and rolling all over Pennsylvania every Saturday night, we pulled each other up in terms of steps and traditions, and when they came out, the concepts. No. And I didn't have a chance to live that reservation that I have some days, which is I only want to be with people my age and my interests. I didn't have the chance. All that I could do. I couldn't hang out with the people from high school and from back in the day because they all screwed me over when I got clean real bad and I switched high schools. And there were no young people sticking and staying for more than like 2 weeks, and I didn't want to die. And so I hung out, I worked my steps, I worked my traditions. But you know, when the young people started showing up, I took the reservation back. And with 4.5 years clean, relapsed. And stayed out there for 1.5 years. And when I came back, everybody was saying to me, all the old heads who just, you know, the first time I came back, I went up to New Year's Eve bash, and there was like 200 people, as soon as they saw me, standing up, you know, welcoming me. You know, I got like 60 phone numbers the first night. People remembered me. And they kept telling me, you know, Jay, out on the West Shore, they got this youth and recovery meeting. I'm like, I ain't going over there. I didn't get my recovery when I had it for the 2.5 years of my first time around that I worked principles. I didn't get it from people my own age. I went down to a convention a couple months after I got clean and started seeing some people in recovery younger than me. Oh, damn. You know, I'm 23. Now, these people half my age getting clean. And it's like, okay, I think I'll hang out some. You know what? And I spent a couple weeks, 24/7, hanging out with young people, people younger than me, who are about this program, who are about working the principles in their lives. But there's still one dangerous thing, which is not a lot of us up in Harrisburg have a lot of practice 24/7 applying the principles to every area of our lives. It's all good when you got an awesome sponsor and when you're going through your trash and you're picking up the phone and you're talking with your sponsor and you got some older men and women that you can pick up the phone. But you know what? When I go out to the diner and my anger starts tripping, I need someone who's going to pull me up on step one. And when I'm going through it at home, because I moved back in with my mom when I got clean again, when I'm going through it at home and I'm getting it jammed up in a relationship, I need someone who can drop it on me in terms of the traditions and the concepts. Yes, there's a part of me that needs to stay around people younger than me and my age. But you know what? I had to chill out for half a week and say, look, I got to hang with the old heads. You know, I have 4.5 years of knowledge that I did not lose using that I hand back to addicts my age and under. And sometimes I get pissed off because, you know, they start freaking out and I say, work a step. And then they just get ticked because I'm not going to let shit slide. I got practice pulling up other people, but I need to be pulled up too because it's all about me. You know, bottom line, it's all about me. For a year in the rooms, I fronted all about you and I talked that good shit, you know. But the thing about fronting and the thing about talking the good shit is, you know, if I'm not applying it, it's not the people who heard me talk shit who are going to use. I'm going to use. And that whole lie about it just being a phase, and that whole lie that goes with it about, hey, you know, now I've been around for like 4 or 5 years, maybe I could just go out, it was just a phase, we'll stay away from the illegal drugs, we'll stay away from that shit. Been there, done that, didn't work. For a year and a half. No, it's not a phase. I found that out real hard. You know, and I also found out that I might be able to set my boundaries on a relapse and think I'm all good because I didn't use this and that and that and that. But the spiritual consequences of this disease are devastating. And I was stuck in a position where I couldn't commit suicide because I tried that before clean and it didn't work. And I couldn't keep on going where I was going. So my only option was to get clean again. I'm real happy to be here. I love seeing people younger than me around. Now, on some days it sucks that when I'm hanging out, I'm the oldest person around. I'm only 23. I'm used to it the other way around. And I love seeing people with some age on them in a meeting. That's for youth and recovery. Up in my area, up in Harrisburg, we don't call ours youth and recovery. We call it never too young to recover. And that's what it's really about. That's what it's really about. One last thing I heard from a friend of mine who went out to a convention in California about a month or two back, and there was a speaker with 9 years clean who was kicking it hardcore on steps, traditions, and concepts. Just total old school dropping it. And this speaker with 9 years clean was 18 years old. You're never too young to recover. It works if you work it with the steps, traditions, and concepts. And if you stay, if I stay, apply to my program, then one day, you know, I can be up there too. Thanks for allowing me to share.
All right, we got time for two more people. All right, same next.
I'll keep it short. My name is James and I'm an addict. 13 years old, I came to this convention. I think I went to one meeting. I thought I was missing out. You know, all my buddies are getting high and these people are, what the hell are they doing going to a meeting? Fuck that shit, man. I'm missing out on something, you know. So, here I am, 21 years old. 15 days clean. I'm sitting out on the beach last night, right? And, you know, I found some real friends. You know, I've been thinking about them old friends, you know, the ones that would, yeah, they'd give me a ride. Yeah, you know, but, you know, we all know what those friends were. I got friends who will cry with me. You know, somebody, a guy that will come up to me and say, dude, I got some feelings. You know, man, that shit just rubbed off on me. I've been feeling all kinds of feelings today. You know? And I'm sitting on the beach last night and I'm thinking, you know, what I really was missing. You know? And it's right fucking here. This is what I was fucking missing. I thought I was missing the fun, the action. I threw a party last night in my little condo, right? Break it down to you. There's 30 of us, young people, sitting around, and it's weird. It's weird when we get together because we used to. Who's breaking the shit out, you know? And we're sitting out there, we're having a good time, and here comes this drunk. She's 37 years old. She didn't know nothing. And I said, you can't come in here with that alcohol. And she got a little bit angry, and you know, she wanted to whoop my ass. She did. She tried to throw some shit, you know. And, you know, it was just, it's fucking amazing, you know. I think about, I got a lot of family that have died, you know. And I think about all those people that ain't gonna make it. And, you know, it's like, people tried to talk to her last night. Tried to, you know, look, you know, she ain't gonna get it, you know. And fucking with... we're under 30 years old and we're doing shit that people can't fucking do, that will never get it, that will die. My brother has been in these rooms, been to the conventions, he just don't get it, you know. It's hard, you know. My family's sitting right there, you know. I got a mom and I got a dad, and I call them and I hang out with them on Christmas, but I don't know, man. It's hard to cry with my family because I've been real distant with them. And these people here, they've seen me go through some shit. And you know, I stole $400 fucking dollars from my best friend. $400. Oh, I didn't want to do it, but I had to. And when I had to tell him that, hey, I got to move out, I stole your money, I expected you, mother, you know. And instead I hear the weirdest thing. He goes, tell me what you were thinking so I ain't got to do that. He said that. Yeah, I'm not both. He said that. And I don't know what I was thinking. You know, I couldn't really tell him. But that's a friend. That's a friend, you know. And that's what I strive for today. Thanks, let me share.
Hi, my name's Allie, and I'm an addict. You know, when I first came to a meeting, I was like 13, you know. First time I ever used, I was 9. And I actually did catch the shit about being too young and not living enough, you know. And why am I here? Because I don't need to be, you know. And it's like, I'm 15 now. And I'm gonna have a year soon, you know, and I'm running around, you know, and people call me, you know, and I actually go to meetings at the place where I went to rehab, the place that I hated so goddamn much that I said I'd never go back, you know, and now on my Friday nights, man, like my Friday nights, I'm sitting in a rehab with a bunch of girls that are asking me to help them and asking for what I've done, you know, and how I got where I got. And that's like the biggest reward, I think, just knowing that there's something that I can do for other people, you know, and knowing that if I have a problem, I don't know, I'd say there's like 130, 140 people in this room right now that I can come talk to any one of you if there's something on my mind, you know. And in my addiction, that's something I never had, you know. Like, the number one conversation was, okay, money out on the table, you know. Like, that was the biggest conversation I ever had, the deepest conversation I ever had when I was using, you know. And the other day also, I was sitting in my friend's apartment, and he started bawling to me. He's like, I'm so scared, like, and he just started crying, you know. And like, it's kind of maybe sick, but I like to see that, you know, because there are so many times that I think I needed to cry and that I wanted to cry that I couldn't, you know, that the people that I wanted to cry to weren't there, you know. And I've spent a lot of nights staying in my room just bawling for some unknown reason. And now I look at it and I know why, because I didn't have what I needed. I thought I did, but I didn't, you know. And recovery has just been an amazing part of my life. And I'm going through this thing too, that like, I'm living with my dad for the first time since I was 6 years old. And my dad's a really cool guy, actually. Like, I don't know, I told him I was going to get in the car and come to this convention in Ocean City, Maryland, from Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, with a friend of mine. And he said, you know what? You're going to go down there and you're going to hang out with a bunch of people in recovery, and you're not going to sleep at all, and you're not going to want to drive back home, or your friend's not. And he said, how about if I go down, buy a room, and you and your friends can stay in it, and I'll drive home, you know? And my dad is another person that I cannot be more grateful for, because in my addiction, my parents were assholes, excuse me. You know, I know that they wanted to help me, you know, and I had this really cool idea that the more I screwed up, the more they wouldn't care. And it didn't work, because, I don't know, my parents, like, the more I screwed up, the more they cared. And it went completely backwards. And now today, living with my dad, you know, it's like every night of the week I'm going to a meeting, or I'm going to someone's house, and I'm going to the diner afterwards, and, yeah, I'm still in school. I mean, my dad, like, I just got to talk about my dad for a second, because he's really great. When I got out of rehab, I was sent to a foster home because my parents had no trust in me, and they couldn't just get me out of rehab because I got kicked out of rehab, too. That kind of sucked, but it's my fault. I was living at home, and this December I moved to my dad, and my mom had basically told me she didn't want me to live there anymore. And after I was, you know, and I still don't have a relationship with my mom that I'm trying to work on. But I told my dad that I had a really hard time going to school, that when I'm going to school, the only things I'm hearing, God, I'm going to get trashed tonight, or God, last night, so blazed, you know, and I couldn't handle it all. When I first went to school, that was horrible on me. My dad went out and, like, about this democratically student school where there's no curriculum, there's only 29 people in school, and he didn't care to us, he was going to send me to it, because he knew that's what I did. You know, I'm just grateful for everybody that shared before me. I'm really glad to be here.